A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Toronto.
All right, look at us. We're all out. No more fucking masks. I hated the masks. I'll tell you who's going to miss the masks. Chicks with good bodies but shit faces. Haven't they been getting away with murder the entire pandemic? In Australia, we call them prawns because you keep the body and you throw the head away. I just got back from touring Australia. The whole place was flooded, right? Remember 3 years ago, the whole place was on fucking fire? Remember that? Just before COVID, all of Australia was on fire and we're all like, oh, the world can't get any worse than this. People died. People lost their homes. But the only thing reported in North America about the fires in Australia was the koalas. Yes. You all seemed very concerned about the koalas. In fact, if you saw me, you'd say something. I'm so sorry to hear about your koalas. Like, pretty fucking cut up about the whole thing. How did they get all the press? Imagine you're a fucking wombat and your family's just burnt to death. Now, I like koalas as much as the next man. But if any animal deserves to die, it's the koala. The koala is the laziest animal on earth. It sleeps for 22 hours a day. The sloth sleeps for 21. It only eats eucalyptus leaves. Eucalyptus leaves are its source of food and water. There is a chemical in eucalyptus that reacts the same way to them that THC reacts to us. So they're stoned all fucking day. ...80% of koalas have chlamydia. So they're stoned with chlamydia. We all have a friend like this. And they're up in the tree with their family, just sitting there. And the fire's blazing through the Australian bush. And all the other animals are running and jumping in the opposite direction of the flames. Not the koala. Getting a bit hot. it's probably just your chlamydia, love. Go back to sleep. And then when we have these natural disasters, how do we rectify it as a society? We get a young Swedish girl with a twitchy eye to tell us off. Like, and Greta gets up there and she's like, I should be in school. Now, I know as soon as I mention Greta Thunberg, that's a triggering thing for a lot of women. A lot of women get very upset when a man my age mentioned Greta Thunberg. And in your brain right now, a little loop's going on and you're going, how dare you pick on a 16-year-old girl? Who the hell do you think you are? You know what? You're right. That's wrong. But she's 19 now and I fucking waited. I waited 3 long years to talk about this shit. I can say whatever the fuck I want about a 19-year-old. Here's one for you. I can fuck Greta Thunberg and I've done nothing wrong. And I wouldn't use a condom either. Out of respect for her and the environment. Now, I don't have a problem with Greta fundamentally. I actually agree with everything she's saying. I agree with the science. I just don't want to fucking hear it. She's always picking on my generation. She's like, your generation ruined it for my generation. Not my generation, Greta. You're thinking of the cunts before me. The generation before me did fucking nothing. My generation invented the different coloured bins. That's all I can do, Greta. I'm fucking flat out with the different fucking coloured bins. The generation before me had one bin and they threw fucking everything into it. They didn't give a fuck. And it was a small, steel, fucking Oscar the Grouch-looking fucking bin. And it had a lid that fully detached. Because that generation was so fucking stupid. They hadn't thought to put a hinge on the bin so the lid and the bin could be one unit. Maybe they talked about it in the bin factory. Someone threw up the idea of the hinge. Oh, I reckon we should put on a hinge. And then one bloke puts up his hand. Yes, Neville. And then Neville goes, but what if a kid wants to use the lid as a shield? Oh. You fucking got me there, Neville. I don't want to fuck around with childhood magic. No hinge it is. And then on garbage day, the bin company conveniently put two steel handles on the side of the bin. So you had a couple of options on garbage day. You could get the bin by one handle and drag it along your driveway with fucking sparks flying out of the cunt and take it out to the curb. Or you could pick that bin up with the two handles and put the wet garbage up against your body. And you could waddle out to the sidewalk like this. Because that generation was so fucking stupid, they didn't think to put man's first invention on the bottom of the fucking bin. They didn't see a heavy object that had to be moved on the regular and thought, fuck me, the wheel would nail this one. They missed plenty of these opportunities. We didn't have wheels on suitcases in any meaningful way until like the mid-90s. No one had wheels on suitcases. I remember my father being at the airport carrying two bags with another one under his armpit like, there's no better way to do this. We went to the airport in a fucking car. He saw wheels in motion. He was holding a wheel the entire time. Couldn't fucking piece it together. <laughs> 1971 was the first time the patent office got a patent for a suitcase with wheels on it. 1971 was the first time anyone on this planet thought to put wheels on a suitcase. To put that in context, we went to the moon in the 60s. This means that Neil Armstrong left his house. And he said to his wife, next time you see me, I'll be on the moon. And he got out to the launch pad and he looked at the rocket majestically. One day. One day they'll put rockets on bags. So, let's tell some stories. This first story involves my friend DJ Qualls. Right? You might know him as the skinny guy from Road Trip or for Hustle and Flow, or more importantly, Billy from Legit. Right? So DJ's gay, right? I can tell this story. He knows. He's well aware. Oh, also, if there are any gay people in the room this evening, welcome. I big fan of the gay community. I've always been pro-gay. I studied musical theatre at university. I grew up in Sydney, one of the gayest cities on earth. Me and the gays, we're down. In fact, I'd say I'm an advocate. They have not said that. I like the gays. I like the LGBTQ community. I like them all. I like the L, the B, the G, the T, the Q, in equal measures. I don't even have a favourite. I like them all equally. I support them all equally. As individual groups, I do not support them as a collective group. Because they have fucking nothing in common. You have one bloke who's like, I like sucking dicks. And another guy goes, I want to cut my dick off. We should be a group. Which brings us to the trans people. Look, hot topic in comedy, a lot of people talking about it. I personally, I've worked with trans people for 20 years in this business. I have no issue with trans people. I think it must be a very hard life. And if there was a surgery that I could have for me to stop hating myself, I'd fucking take it. So I get it. It's not an easy choice, right? And then, so I got no problems with trans people. And then I see all the comedians, and there's Chappelle and Gervais, and they told those jokes, and everyone got upset, and there was all this press, right? And I have no problem with trans people, but I do like press. So here we go. As I said, I like trans people. Do you want to know why I like trans people? I like anyone who's got a good story. If we're at a party and you tell me you've cut your dick off, you've caught my attention. I'll sit and chat to you for a while. I feel like you might have some tales to tell. Can I empathise completely with a trans person? I try to, but I can't really, because I'll never know what it's like to hate the body I'm living in. So, oh, hang on, I do. I've never understood this argument. I hated the body I live in. That's like 98% of us. 98% of us get out of the shower and see ourselves in the mirror and go, oh. But I've never wanted to cut me dick off, and that's a fundamental difference. But I do consider myself a bloke with a six-pack, and I'd like you to see me that way as well. I like trans people. I often think they shouldn't stop transitioning. Keep going. Transition more. You ever see a trans person and think to yourself, they could do with more? Let me explain. So when a man becomes a woman, and I will call you a woman, or them, they, her, whatever you want to be called, I got all day, I don't give a fuck. I'll call you whatever you want. I regard you as a woman. You have made the decision to change. I regard you as a woman. So the surgery, they have to do this, right? The first thing they do is they take the hormones. It lowers the bone density, raises the voice a little bit. Then they go get the surgery. So the first thing they do is they cut the dick off and they put that on a plate. I for the life of me, I don't know why people laugh when I say you put that on a plate. What did you want me to do in this scenario? They cut the dick off and they chuck it. Of course there's a fucking plate. So they cut the dick off. Now they have to make a hole. So they get a spoon. And at this stage, I should mention that I'm not a doctor. I have no formal medical training to speak of. I just know this happens. So they shovel a hole. But that's just a hole. That's not realistic. You need flaps. And that's where the dick meat comes into play. So they julienne some dick strips. And they get some 3M double-sided tape. And they put two on this side and one on that side. Because I don't know a lot about cunts, but I know they're not symmetrical. So then they made it, right? That's all really, that's good now, it's good. So then they grow the hair long, they make sure they're clean shaven, right? Then they get the fake tits. Now here is my problem where they don't transition enough. They always get perfect tits. Believe me. They always get perfect tits. And that's not the real female experience. They want to be a real woman, they got to get one titty slightly bigger than the other. And a nipple covering one for no reason. You do that, you can play any sport you want, I reckon. Then the next one, so a woman becoming a man, how would they? They would have to, you'd fill that in, wouldn't you? You'd fill it in. Cement. So they cement that in. Then they have to build a new fresh dick with that new dick smell. That's what all the excess dick bits. They build a new dick, beautiful dick. You'd ask for a good one, wouldn't you? You wouldn't go small. You go, give me a nice dick. Then they take the hormones. They always grow a beard. I'd grow a beard too. I understand that completely, right? They cut off the tits. But they always keep the full head of hair. That is not the real male experience. If they want to be a real man, just one of them, just one. Shave the horseshoe shape in. You grow a bit out the side and fucking whip it across. Because they'll never know the full pain of male pattern baldness. It's fucking killer. If you watch my specials from beginning, I think I've done 9 or something like that. You watch them, I get hairier and hairier as I go along. Because I've had a transplant. I've had fucking, I take a tablet every day for the last 15 years to keep my hair looking this fucking shit. Right? Every day I have to take this tablet, every single fucking day. And if I stop taking it, my hair falls out right away. Got to keep taking it. But I can't take it every day anymore. I have to take it every 4 days. Because if I take it every day, my dick doesn't work. So I have a couple of options in life. Either I have hair and I can't fuck anyone, or I'm bald and no one wants to fuck me. And people, you mock the bald. You mock bald men. You tease them. It's like the last physical. We can't knock the fat anymore. We can't knock this. We can't knock that. But it's the last physical thing that people just tease people for. Hey, baldy. I don't give a fuck. My friend, someone came up and polished his head at a party with a tea towel. Right? Fucking terrible shit. It really hurts. Losing your hair as a man is devastating. Devastating. So you can't joke about it anymore. And I know what you're thinking. I'm a comedian. I should have a thicker skin than this. But no, it's over. You cannot knock or tease male pattern baldness anymore. And these are your rules, not fucking mine. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because one woman once had her baldness mentioned in jest. And you all lost your fucking shit, didn't you? Fuck Jada Pinkett Smith and her bald ass fucking head. I have zero sympathy. I hope it never grows back. She has it easy. A woman losing their hair is easier than a man losing their hair. And I know you don't think it is, but it fucking is. First of all, sympathy out the fucking wazoo. They get called brave. Sir, did anyone ever call you brave? Not fucking one, not one. She could have worn a wig. She could have worn a wig. No one would have cared. Men aren't allowed to cover their baldness up in any fucking way, and if they do, they're considered a loser by society. If a man has a comb over, as soon as he leaves the room, you all make your little fucking comments. You're like, you see the fucking cunt with the comb over? How dare he? How dare he try to look like he has hair like everyone else? Not allowed to wear a wig. If a man wears a wig and he's found out, that's fucking, there's no country you can move to. If a man wears a wig and he's not found out, his entire life is lived in fear. All day he's like this, oh, for fuck's sake. The weatherman said it wouldn't be windy. Yet women are allowed to wear wigs. Women are allowed to wear wigs over their full heads of hair, and they're just having a bit of fun. Wigs for everyone, or wigs for no one. While I'm at it, fake ponytails, hair extensions. If you can't grow it, you can't fucking have it. Do you know how disgusting it is that we have a portion of our society with hair who are allowed to wear wigs when the bald is not? That is the equivalent of a woman who can walk getting in a wheelchair and wheeling herself up to a legless man trying to crawl his way home from the pub. And she just keeps up with him and laughs. So my point is, DJ's gay, right? So now, this is actually the story of how DJ Qualls came out of the closet. I knew he was gay, his friends knew he was gay, but he hadn't told the public. Me and DJ went to see Elton John in concert on Elton John's farewell tour, right? So we're sitting there. I'll take any cheer I can get. Anyway, so we went to the concert, we're sitting there, and Elton's at the piano, and the band leaves the stage, and now it's just Elton, a piano, and a spotlight, nothing else. And Elton says, "This will be the final song I perform this evening." Now, of course, it wasn't. He was doing that cunty thing that musicians do. Like, fucking how long as a society are we gonna play their fucking game? Every single concert we go to. No. Don't go. You know they're coming back, but when they come back, we always act surprised. Oh! We did it! I was sitting next to a young fellow, it was maybe one of his first concerts. He's there with his dad, maybe 15 years old. And Elton said, this will be the final song I perform this evening. And the kid just lost his mind and went, no, Elton! No! And I was like, calm the fuck down, mate. He hasn't sung Rocket Man yet. So we're there. It's a 3-hour mark. And Elton, right, he says, he gives a 10-minute speech, a beautiful speech, farewell tour. He says, thank you so much for following my 50-year career. Thank you so much for buying the albums and hearing the music. Without you listening to the songs, me writing them is inconsequential, and I love you. You're the greatest fans a person could have. And it was a beautiful speech, right? Very long, but it was a beautiful speech. And I turned to DJ and I went, I should do that. And he said, do what? And I said, I should thank the people who come to see me. I never do that. I just tell my jokes and piss off. I don't do that. And he turns to me and goes, yeah, but with your fan base, someone would just yell out, bag, like that. And as he said that, Elton John had stopped talking. And the word fag just sang out. Everyone in the room's freaking the fuck out. They're all turning around. Of course they think it's fucking me. I'm elbowing DJ like, probably a good time to come out. I'd come out right fucking now. Elton John looks up from his piano, stares at us. The room goes silent. Now let's break down what just happened there. Elton John's at the 3-hour mark of his farewell tour. He gave a lovely speech. And someone yelled out, fag. Who must have Elton thought that person was? Like, did he think it was someone who really hated him and had come up to show after show after show and was like, if I don't say it now, I'll never say it? Or did he think it was someone who had just figured it out? Maybe someone who bought the albums, listened to the music, never seen the outfits. And he's sitting there with his wife like this. He wears an awful lot of sequins, doesn't he? You know what I think? I think he might be a fag! So the next day, I'm performing in San Diego, and DJ came along with me to my show, right? And so he's sitting in the wings, and I tell the Elton John story that night. And I'm on stage, I'm telling it, and I'm not mentioning his name because no, I didn't want anyone to know it's him. And then he just walked on stage out of nowhere. He came on, I sort of look at him like, what the fuck's Deej doing, man? And he's... and he took the microphone from me and he went, it was me. I'm gay. And the whole place erupted. And then he just waved goodnight. And then he went back and he tweeted about it right away. Tweeted about it, that very, so he couldn't take it back. And that's how he came out. And then we went out that night, and everyone was so excited for him. People from the show were coming up, giving him drinks and hugs and taking photos. And everyone, it was one of the best fucking nights I've ever had. Coming out looks like a lot of fun. Like, I was getting jealous. Because, you know, as a hetero, we've got nothing. We go. I have no bit of information that will really ruin an elderly relative's Christmas. So I thought about it. What have I got that's close to coming out, right? And I thought about it and thought about it, and this is what I've come up with. And it's hard to say in front of a room full of people, but I have to live my truth. My favourite TV show is The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I love that shit. I don't work on Monday nights because I like to follow the live tweets. I'm part of Bachelor Nation. I fucking love that shit. And I know a lot of you might think I'm an idiot for enjoying that. Well, I'm not an idiot. I'm not stupid. I don't like reality shows. I don't watch Selling Sunset or Below Deck or any of that fucking shit. I like game shows. And The Bachelor is a game show where the prize is a person. It's a whole lot of people who just want to get famous. And we force two of them to get married. It's fucking belter. If you've never seen an episode, I'll walk you through an episode of The Bachelorette. So The Bachelorette, be like a 28-year-old girl. She lives in a house, you never really see this house. She lives in this house over here. And there's a mansion that literally has 30 guys in it that are all fighting for her attention, right? And she comes over and visits them occasionally. Oh, there's a petition going around the internet for a gay bachelor. No! The Bachelor is a heterosexual show for heterosexual people, and it will remain that way, thank you very much. I'm not being homophobic, it just wouldn't logistically work. So say you got a gay bachelor, his name's Darren. Darren lives in a house over here. Then there's a mansion over here with 30 guys. You're getting ahead of me, Toronto, don't do that. And the producers come over to the house to meet Darren. They go, we have a great group of guys over there. They're very excited to meet you. I'm excited to meet them. And then Darren walks over there with all of his hopes and wishes and dreams inside this house. And he gets to the doorknob and takes a breath. And then he opens the door and they're all fucking each other. And the producers, they know this isn't good for the show. So they roll up a newspaper and start whacking him. Get out of it! Stop fucking each other! They get a spray bottle. Psh, psh. They get one of them and rub their nose in their cum. Bad guy! Bad guy! So no gay bachelor. Let's do The Bachelorette. So The Bachelorette, be like a 28-year-old girl. She has known she's going to be the bachelorette for like 4 months. So she's done what most women do before they get married. You know, she's working out every day. She's eating well. If she does eat something naughty, she vomits it back up. Now, of course, this is a comedy show, so if there are any bulimic women in the room, don't think it goes unnoticed. Us boys appreciate that you're keeping it tight. You're doing what the fat girls aren't willing to do. So she's out the front of this mansion. She's all bulimic, ripped and bulimic sexy. She's had her hair done professionally, her makeup done professionally. She's in a $10,000 dress that the show has given her. This woman is in her prime. She will never look better than she does at this exact moment. What a good time to fall in love, eh? I can't see any disappointment in the future. So she stands out the front of the house, and then 30 limos, one by one, will drive up, and 30 different men will come out of their car, and they'll walk up to her, they will introduce themselves, and then they will say some line that they pre-rehearsed that they think will sweep her off her feet. And this line will be some innocuous bit of rubbish that fucking means nothing. Now, they show up in the car, they come out good-looking guys wearing a beautiful tailored suit, right? But because they're in their 20s, the leg's up to here. Because it's very important to that generation that we see their ankles. You look like cunts. Anyway. So the limousines show up, and out steps this guy, right? He'll be handsome, wrinkly forehead handsome, right? And he'll walk up to her. He'll be... Hi, my name's Kevin. I believe that a woman's heart should be protected. What the fuck does this mean? But she will think this is amazing. She'll just be like, I also believe that a woman's heart needs protecting. Well, maybe we should talk about that inside. And then he walks off. And she loses her shit. She just like goes to the presenter. Oh my God, it's Kevin. Kevin's the one. She doesn't know fucking jack shit about Kevin. Kevin arrived in a car he doesn't own, wearing a suit he's been given, walking into a mansion he's never fucking been in. Kevin could be unemployed and live with his mum in Regina. He doesn't know fucking Kevin. Now on the show, you need to get a rose, right? And if you're one of the guys that don't, I've never watched the Canadian version, but I live in America, they give roses. I assume with you guys is like, I really like you, here's a beaver's pelt. But in the USA, they give a rose, right? Now, if you're one of these blokes and you feel like, I'm not gonna get a rose this week, she doesn't like me, what you do is you tell her a sob story, right? Because she can't fuck you off that week. She can't get rid of you that week. She's a bitch if she kicks you off that week. So a sob story will buy you about a week. Now, it's amazing how they just weave them into conversations out of nowhere. And because these people are in their 20s, some of these sob stories are as weak as balls. And it always happens, like, they'll be playing touch football, right? And the girl will come by and they'll be like, hey, Katie, hey, how are you going? And one guy will stand back and he'll wait till he makes eye contact. And she'll come up and she'll be like, what's wrong? Oh, no. Nah, it's nothing, it's nothing. It's just that we're having such a good time today. I just wish that my grandmother was here to see it. And you're like, you're 28, mate, your grandmother's meant to be dead, cunt. There was a guy last season, he was raising a four-year-old boy, right? Because his wife had died 2 years earlier. Ho ho! That's roses all day! I got married in COVID. I would have waited a little longer, but I said to my wife, I said, I'm worried that COVID's going to end. We must get married now. And she said, why? Because my wife's British, I'm Australian, we live in Los Angeles, right? And I said, COVID will end, we have to get married. And she's like, why? And I go, because if we wait till after COVID, I have to fly cunts in from all over the world. See people I don't want to fucking know and fucking. So we went to Vegas, just did it and rang everyone up. It wasn't the same without you. Damn you, COVID. It was the fucking best, man. I love my wife. I'm loving being married, man. I'm loving it, man. I believe in the term happy wife, happy life. These are words to live by. There's never been a truer sentence in the English language than happy wife, happy life. If your wife is happy, you'll be happy, the kids will be happy, everyone will be happy. It does surprise me, however, that there's no saying that goes the other way. If my wife had a saying, it'd be, happy husband, we'll see about that. Or, happy husband, what's he been up to? So, we get married in Vegas, and then my wife gets pregnant on the wedding night. Probably mine. Anyway, so she gets pregnant on the wedding night. It wasn't expected. We have a little boy now. thanks. I'm not fucking having another one. I'm not doing it. I'm actually having a vasectomy on Monday. I had to time it after this. I'm having one on Monday. My wife doesn't want me to get one. But I said, my body, my choice. I see why you guys like throwing that out. That seems like a fun sentence. My body, my choice. I told my dad a couple of weeks ago. I said, oh, Dad, I'm getting a vasectomy. My dad's 81 years old, right? I said, Dad, I'm getting a vasectomy. And my dad went, don't do it. And I said, why not? And he goes, because most women, not all women, but most women, they like to see the cum. And I said, Dad, when you have a vasectomy, you still ejaculate, it just doesn't work anymore. And he went, oh, get one then. That's the fastest I've ever seen anyone change their opinion on fucking anything. He's 81 years old, and all that time he thought blokes with vasectomies were shooting dust out of their dicks. So the wife gets pregnant, right? Now, we had a baby shower, right? We had a little boy, we had a baby shower. Before I tell you this, I have to mention, my wife is British, very posh accent, sounds like Mary Poppins, my wife, right? She's British, but visually, she's Indian, right? Yeah, I feel like I said that weird, didn't I? I said that a bit weird. How do I fix that? British talky-talky, Indian looky-looky. All right, nailed it. Anyway. So my wife's Indian, and she's walking around the baby shower holding her stomach going, I hope he's brown. I want a brown baby, not a stupid white baby. Now I wasn't offended, but imagine if the shoe was on the other foot. Imagine if I was walking around the baby shower with my friends. And I pointed at my wife's stomach and went, I hope he's white. I want a white baby, not a stupid brown baby. Anyway, so the baby's born. This thing's white as fuck, man. It's so fucking white. This is whiter than the kid I had with the blonde Canadian woman. I don't know what happened. I was at the cut end of the birth and I saw the baby crowning and I was like, she's not gonna be happy about this. My mother-in-law, so at this stage, right, they take the baby out, my mother-in-law's holding it. My wife's being stitched up, right? She's being stitched up. Could have done more. Anyway, so... so she's being stitched up. So the reason I'm telling you this, she's in no mood to make a joke. She's not joking when she says this next thing. She's not joking. This baby came out of the womb, it looks just fucking like me, man. It fucking, it has thin hair and one eyebrow. And my mother-in-law's there and she holds the baby up next to my head and she goes, oh my God, he looks exactly the same as Jim. And my wife said, so you don't think you'll be good looking? And you can't argue with a woman when her cunt's being stitched up. You just can't. So I just stand there and take it like this. Maybe he'll grow up to be one of those people who pays for everything. So my wife, I'd never seen her hornier than the last trimester of her pregnancy. I don't know if this happens to other women, but it happened to my wife. Something to do with the hormones. She just wanted to fuck non-stop in the last trimester. So we go to the obstetrician. And the obstetrician says to us, my wife's asking the doctor, and the doctor, she's being all type of like talking about medicine-y things, right? She's like, and the baby will turn around and you expect this to happen and your ankles will do this or whatever. She's telling her all these things. And my wife's so single-minded, she's just like this, but can we still have sex? Are we still allowed to have sex? And like this, the doctor's like, of course, we encourage it. It's healthy to have sex during the pregnancy. And I went, oh. I don't know. Feels like it might hurt the baby. But that wasn't the real reason I didn't want to have sex. The real reason was, I thought she looked weird. Now, I know that's not a nice thing to say, but I can't, the dick wants what the dick wants. The dick didn't want. I told him he should want, but he's in charge, man. He didn't want. I love my wife, I'm very attracted to my wife, but when she was fucking really pregnant, she was like, she's 5'2", she's under 100 pounds, she gained no weight. All she gained was a big fucking pot belly. She looked like fucking E.T., man. So I had this fucking horny E.T. just following me around the house like, are we going to fuck today? Are we going to fuck today? And I'm like, oh my God, no. It's over the course of my career, I've told a lot of jokes, a lot of sex jokes. And normally they've got to do with cocaine, one-night stands, threesomes, prostitutes, things like that. I'm sorry, you will not hear that this evening. Because I'm a happily married father of two, I'm 45 years old, And that's just not my fucking life anymore. But I still want to do some sex jokes for you. But these sex jokes are for all the people in the room who are just like me. And they have to fuck the same person every day. When you fuck the same person every day, oh, you get good at it. You get good, or you get fucking efficient. You know each other's buttons and how to get the person out of the room pretty quick. Now, I should mention something about myself. I haven't had a drink in 18 months, right? I don't drink anymore. I think if you've watched my career, you have seen that I have had struggles. I did some of my specials. I was drunk during the whole specials. There was a couple of specials I blacked out straight afterwards, and I don't remember the fucking special. I had years that I was good, and then I got a handle on it, then I couldn't get a handle on it, and then it got away from me. It's been a struggle I've had for many years. And so I want to talk to you about something really important. And I know a lot of you won't like me talking about this, but I had something come into my life that throughout my life I've always rejected. And this has changed, has given me weed. How fucking good is weed? I had no idea. It was a drug that I just never did. I was doing cocaine and all pills and all this fucking shit. I never touched weed. I was like, I might get a bit pack. It's the fucking best. I never want to drink again, man. I don't want to drink. I much prefer being high. I don't drink no more. I'm high and dry, baby. High and dry. I get stoned. I take an edible every fucking day. I'm a fucking koala, man. So every day, I drop my kid at school, and I take an edible, then I play Call of Duty for about 5 hours. All right? Play Call of Duty. And my wife will come in, I'll be sitting there stone playing Call of Duty, and she'll come in, she'll walk, and she'll sit down next to me, and she'll go, do you want to fuck? And I'll be like, ah. Oh. Team deathmatch. And then she'll look up at me with the eyes. Oh, I can't say no to her. So I'm like this. Now get out of here, you. And she's happy with that. That helps her move on with her day. My wife hasn't watched me do stand-up for over a year because we have a kid at home and she's, you know, and life is busy. She hasn't come to one of my shows in a year. And I said to her before this special, I said, oh, there's a couple of jokes about you. And she was like, oh, don't tell me, don't tell me. She goes, I want to watch them on Netflix with you. So, right now, if you're watching this on Netflix, know that I'm at home sitting next to my wife like this. When you're in a relationship, a long-term relationship, you settle down into four positions. You start out with more, but as the relationship gets on, you settle down to your core four. The four positions you always use. You both know your core four, but neither of you have ever talked to each other about the core four. Right now, you're thinking about your core four. And in the car ride home, you'll talk about your core four. We're all doing two the same. Her on top, him on top. These are classics. They're not going anywhere. Then the other two are variables for your relationship. And they are the one that helps her come and the one that helps him come. Your finishing positions. Now, I won't tell you my wife's finishing position because I respect her privacy. but I will tell you mine. I used to finish in doggy when I was a younger man, but as I've gotten older, I now finish in what they call lazy doggy. Lazy doggy is the one where you lay in the spoon position and you grab one tit and you rut around. It's a fucking solid position. It's a good position because you feel like you're being active, but you still get a pillow. My wife loves me so much that if she finishes in her position, she'll just get off the cock and she'll lay in lazy doggy and she'll look at me and go, go on then. And I'm like, thanks, love. I shan't be long. Every now and again, you venture out of the core four. You'll throw in an old position you used to do. There's one position that all relationships do about 4 or 5 times a year, and every time you do it, you go, this is dumb. That's reverse cowgirl. Now, in case you don't know, reverse cowgirl is when the girl's on top, but she's turned around, so the ass is facing you, and she just goes, but she bends over like this, so it's not good because the dick goes this way, and the cunt goes that way, and they're fighting against each other. And unless you have a big dick, and I don't, right? It'll come out every 6 thrusts or so, and you have to thumb it back in. Oh, hello, mate. Good to see you. Back you go. Oh, didn't think I'd see you again so soon. Back. I'll tell you another thing that you only do early on in a relationship and then you fuck it off. 69. 69's a new relationship activity and then you fucking never do it again. 3 months it gets 69. You do it in the beginning because you want to act like you're free with your body. But then it's stupid. Too much geometry involved. Like, I'm 6 foot tall, so I need a woman who's 5'5 for the perfect 69. Any taller, I'm finger banging behind me head and licking out a belly button. And any shorter, and I've got me neck up like this, and I feel like I've been in the front row of the movies. That's why you gotta give it up for the gays. Must be wonderful. You just see each other, same height, 69. Because those people stick together like Lego. Now, another problem with 69 is no one's doing their best work. I can't lick your cunt to the best of my ability if you're sucking my dick to the best of yours and vice versa. I can't tell you how many times I've been in 69 and I've thought to myself, I haven't done anything for minutes. Should probably get back to it. And then because I'm doing such a good job, she's lost all focus. She has a cock in her mouth with zero fucking passion. So you have to knee her in the head, fucking get back to it. You ever do the 69 where the woman's laying flat on her back on the bed and the man gets on top? This is so horrendous looking that you can't search for it in Pornhub. No one in the world has ever I've tried. They've never searched for this. No one wants to see it. You always get into that position by accident. It's never your intention. Me and the wife got into it by accident, right? So I'd gone down her, right? You know, my turn. We don't keep a tally, but I'm two up. Anyway, so I go down her. She finishes, right? I fucking go, all right, I'm off to the bathroom. Now, her head's at the end of the bed. She was laying that way on the bed. And so her head's at the end of the bed. And then as I'm walking by, she just grabs my cock and she goes to put it in her mouth. And I'm like, hello. Hey. Oh, I should mention at this stage, my in-laws will be watching this. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, so she starts sucking my cock and I'm like, ah, good on you, well done you. And we go through the whole show, the whole song and dance. We all do it, right? She puts it in her mouth, then she sticks her tongue out and I slap it on her tongue and she acts like that's something she enjoys. She's like this, and I'm like, you're having a good time. So she's sucking on my dick and her head's at the end of the bed and I don't know why I did this, but I thought, oh, what I'll do is I'll whip my leg around here. Whoa, like that. And as soon as I did it, I knew I'd made an error. The ball sack was covering her nose and the breathing became very laboured. And not just her nose, they'd come right over her eyes, giving her fly's eyes. And I was like, oh, this can't be good. I have to relieve a bit of the pressure, so I put one knee up on the mattress. But all that did was shift the balls off the eyes onto the bridge of the nose. So she still can't breathe, but now she has a very clear view of my gaping hemorrhoidal asshole. And I'm like, that can't be fun. So I put the other knee up, then I'm up, and then I fell forward and started licking from above and act like that was what I meant to do. Now, boys, if you ever find yourself in a situation where a woman asks for a 69 where she's on the bottom and you're on the top, make sure you get yourself some rock-solid consent. Get a video of her saying what she expects, what she wants. Make her hold the newspaper for that day. Maybe a contract, get a notary. There's not enough. Because girls, once we get started in this position, there's no turning back. Unless your safe word is, you're butt fuck out of luck. If you do it on a soft inner spring mattress, she stands a chance. You do it on memory foam, you'll fucking kill a bitch. That's what it's like to be married. Now, I want to finish on this routine. I have traveled the world with this job. This job has been such a blessing in my life. I've been everywhere. Anywhere where they speak English, I've gotten up somewhere and told a few dick jokes. It's fantastic. But I tell you what, I've seen all different cultures, different societies, and I know who the biggest cunts on earth are. The biggest cunts on earth are the Swedes. Swedish people are the worst people on earth. If there's any Swedish people in the room, know that you're not welcome here. Do you know Sweden was the last place in the free world to give up on eugenics? Right up until 1974, they were sterilizing people against their will if they were disabled or had a degenerative disease. So if you were cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, you're a dwarf, they sterilized you. That's 1974. That's recent history. But if you go there, you can't argue with the results. Oh! Fuck me, they're good looking. Like, they're so fucking good looking, man. They're so good looking, it's like they're killing the ugly people. Now, I'm not saying they're walking around killing people. That's ridiculous. I'm saying they're doing it from birth. So there'll be like a woman giving birth, there'll be like a doctor, and then there'll be like an official guy in the corner. And the doctor pulls the baby out and goes, no. Right? Then they throw the baby in the corner with all the other ugly dead babies. He didn't have a plate this time, right? And the woman, they're such a rational breed of people. I don't think the woman would even be upset. I think she'd just be like this. Ah, was it ugly, was it? Thank you for catching it so early. Urban legend has it that one of the ugly dead babies survived. It wasn't hit hard enough and it was thrown into the corner. And then the other ugly dead babies kept on piling on top of it. And it lived under there, feeding off the rotting flesh until eventually it was strong enough to crawl away on its own. Be free, Greta. Be free. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're awesome.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.